Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. This is our fourth episode of the 2019 fantasy football season, and today got a great show. We are talking about our first round rankings as of February. We're each going to be going over our top 12 picks for the 2019 season. But first, I have Prophet Hoos on the show. How you doing, man?
Pretty darn good, man. A little sad football's over, but hey, we got this AAF stuff, right?
We do. How do you feel about the AAF? Showtime George is also on the show. How you feeling about it?
Man, I love the AAF. They're doing a lot of things I wish the NFL would do. One of my favorite things that they're doing is allowing the cameras up into the sky booth and allowing you to actually hear the official replays, the replay officials' logic and thinking on why they're calling what they're calling on a challenge play. I absolutely love that. I wish it's something that the NFL would adapt.
I like how they're calling fewer penalties.
Yeah, that too.
Man, that hit on the quarterback?
Which one? There was a couple of them.
I couldn't tell you anybody who played.
I can give you a handful of names. I can't go into great depth. If we were doing a draft for that league right now, I would have no idea who I'm picking.
Although, I just know Trent Williams scored two touchdowns or something like that. That's about all.
Yeah. Listen, I would just take the guys from Orlando. We know Steve Spurrier has a history of in college of running up the score. He didn't get a chance to do it in the NFL, but I think if he gets the chance to do it in the AAF, he'll do it there too. So
do you think the AAF is going to become more popular than the CFL?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Did you say it already is?
Yeah, I would say that.
In the United States, I would say yes. In Canada, I would say no. I know that they've already announced that they're looking for two expansion teams for next year.
I think there were two expansion teams in each division, I think. So they're looking for four cities.
Is it each division? I thought it was just two total, one in each division to go up to five.
Let me look back through here. I'm pretty sure it said two. I'm not going to spend time looking for it now. I thought that's what it said.
So are we covering AAF fantasy players now?
No, we are not. I just want to get your thoughts on that. We do have breaking news, though. As of just a couple hours before recording this show, Kareem Hunt has signed with the Cleveland Browns. Let's talk implications as of February. So he has not officially served his suspension yet. The suspension for a domestic violence, which, I mean, you could argue that it wasn't domestic violence, but he still technically did slightly kick a female. He was, you know, obviously he violence. Was cut last season and he didn't, you know, serve any suspension with the team. Domestic violence is a minimum 6-game suspension with today's rules. George, I'll kick it to you first. Do you think any of those missed games last season are going to count towards his suspension?
No, I don't think any. So why would they? The team cut him. It's not like he was, you know, suspended by the team. The team actually cut him. So he wasn't assigned to any team. Therefore, they shouldn't count towards any suspension that he may or may not get.
Yeah, I doubt you see them doing that, him that kind of favor. He's probably going to serve his whole 6 months. I wouldn't be surprised if they give him a year, just based off of, you know, trying to make some sort of impression. You know, him kick. You know, some people said it didn't look that bad. At the end of the day, he still kicked a woman. Like, you don't do that at all.
I mean,
whatever he justified.
Yeah, I think you got to take the severity. And listen, I don't think any of us are justifying his actions. I think universally we all condemn it. You know, it's nothing that, you know, we show support for. We don't agree with what he did. But when you look at what he actually did, honestly, it wasn't a whole lot. And if he did that to a guy, we're not even having this conversation. No. If they had him on video doing, like, barely nudging a dude who was laying on the ground, we're not having this conversation. The only reason we're having it is because it's a female.
I mean, yeah, obviously, but yeah, it was still wrong. And
oh, absolutely.
You know, but the guy's a talented guy. That's why we're talking about him. It's not like he's some Joe Schmo. Kareem Hunt ruined a lot of our fantasy championships last year, unless you were able to grab D. Willie. It's I don't know. He hurt a lot of us, and let's see if I mean as of right now, are you if he gets 6 months, where are you drafting him next year?
6 months or 6 games? Because there's a
difference. That's the second time you said 6 months. I thought maybe you were going.
I'm thinking about arrested. I guess maybe I'm thinking of I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking about the Redskin coach, even though he's not going to get 6 months. He was just drinking, but it's a rest season, so maybe someone will get 6 months.
Well, let's assume that he gets a 6-week suspension. All right, let's start with that because it's 6 weeks minimum for, you know, domestic violence. I think you could put both the word domestic and violence in quotes, but I think the NFL is probably going to call it domestic violence. So 6-game minimum. As of today, if you had to make a call, Hoos, where is Nick Chubb going to go? If it's only 6 games.
Probably second round still. I think he's still going to go around that end of the second round, beginning of the third, possibly. I think people are still going to be very high on Nick Chubb. And even if, you know, when Hunt does, you know, is able to play, I think a lot of people are going to start this whole narrative of Kamara, Ingram, not of last year, obviously, but the year before that, possibly. And I just don't know how often that even happens. That, you know, that 1 year that they did have that run, everyone's just thinking, you know, you can pair that backfield. We've seen that happen in a lot of off seasons last year, and we didn't see it come into fruition for a lot of teams. So I think that's a lot of what a lot of people are thinking right now, just off of, you know, a couple hours to spin a brain off of it. Both two talented dudes, sucky landing spot, I think. But Dorsey got his guy. I mean, Dorsey drafted this guy, and I mean, he's taken faith with him again. So we got to see how this all plays out.
Where do you think Kareem Hunt goes? What round?
Probably like 6 or so, 7.
All right.
Yeah, I think 6th or 7th round seems about right.
Yeah, that's where I had him going too. I posted that on Twitter today. George, where do you think Nick Chubb gets drafted?
I don't think he's going to go in the first 2 rounds. I think he's for sure a 3rd round pick at this point.
That's what I think too. Mid-3rd round seems about right for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where you don't see very many backfields that are like, you know, the Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram from 2 years ago. The only one that I could think of in recent history, and it was to a much lesser extent, was Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. A couple years ago, you could, you know, play both of them and you'd be all right. Right. But it's so rare. And it's not like they added just a schlub at the running back position. I mean, they took somebody who is an all-pro caliber running back who hasn't even hit the peak yet or his prime yet, and added him to the team. So I think it does do a lot to Nick Chubb's value. I think it drops at least a round, if not, I mean, a round and a half to 2 rounds, to be honest.
100%. I agree. All right. Well, we can't really talk more about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt as of right now, because like we said, we don't even know if has he been reinstated? I guess he wasn't officially banned, was he?
I think he was just put on the commissioner's list.
Yeah, he's still on that list.
So he has to be reinstated still.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that might not happen by the start of the season.
I think it will.
I mean, you never know with Goodell. I think it will too, but there's a chance.
Right, it's very early, you know, so it's a fun time to speculate on it all, for sure.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into our rankings for the very first round of the fantasy football draft. So this is if we were drafting today, where we would take these guys. And we've got the first 12 picks, so just a 12-team league. I did mine in PPR. What about you guys?
I did mine half point.
PPR.
PPR, yeah. Half point PPR. All right. Well, as I was looking through these, we all have the same three guys as our top three, maybe in a slightly different order. But number one overall for all of us, Saquon Barkley. And honestly, there's really no argument you can make against taking him at number one overall. You can make arguments for Gurley to be the number one pick, but you can't argue against Barkley. I mean, the guy was a rookie, the best draft, you know, running back draft prospect to maybe ever come out of the combine and put up a humongous season. And that was as a rookie. I mean, the guy's got nowhere to go but up, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had, as a rookie, he had over 2,000 all-purpose yards, 15 touchdowns. I mean, 91 receptions. Dude was just a beast this year.
Yeah, hey, he certainly surpassed my expectations. I did not expect this coming from this dude. Not that he's not the super talented dude that he is. I just didn't think that they were going to use him with, I don't want to say they were going to use him this much, but didn't think he was going to be, what, number two over, what did he finish? And now we're talking about drafting him first overall.
I think he finished number one overall.
Yeah.
Depending on scoring, it was either Barkley or McCaffrey, I think.
Yeah, it was a weird end of the year. The way a lot of players didn't play at the end of the year. We had Gordon missing games, Gurley missing games. It was weird.
I had a two quarterback league where I had Luck, Rivers, and Rodgers, and I was able to trade. No, not Rodgers, Roethlisberger. I was able to trade Jordan Howard and Roethlisberger for Saquon Barkley.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was to my boss at the brewery. Wow. That was pretty awesome.
Roethlisberger would. I think he did finish.
Coincidentally, this is your last year at the brewery, isn't it?
Likely.
Roethlisberger finished fourth overall for quarterbacks. Yeah, he had a great season.
Yeah, he had an amazing season. Yeah.
Still a good trade.
That actually surprises me.
Yep. Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people saw that.
All right, let's get into where we disagree. And Hoos, I think I'm going to let you take your rankings first. So let's run through your 2 through 12 for the first round. So why don't you go ahead and give us your 102?
So I've got Zeke there. That may come as a surprise. Right now, I'm just thinking there's a possibility that the Rams do bring back CJ Anderson. I think they were trying to looking for that, especially in that playoff run, trying to look for some sort of Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara type of role, even though it wasn't exactly, but they kind of used Gurley in that passing down role and kind of used CJ Anderson in that power rusher. They're both power rushers, so I'm kind of worried a little bit about that right now. I mean, still taking him third overall, but that's why I got Zeke there right now. The guy was a beast last year. I think he's going to continue to just feast, you know, like he does, you know, eating whatever he does on every down.
And through the receiving game, too, man.
Yeah, so that was certainly a surprise. I don't think a lot of people... I know at the beginning of last year, I was definitely had... It was the backup. It was Rod Smith. I had him on a lot of my radars, thinking that he was going to play some sort of a role, but he had nothing. And Zeke just was a... He did everything. We didn't envision him having this kind of dual role. But he flourished in it. So he actually left some yards on the table, even though he still finished pretty what among the top rushers.
And over 1,400 yards.
Yeah. So I mean, the guy. There was definitely some games you watched that seemed like he left some yards on the table. But in a reception wise, he certainly surprised a lot of us. So that's why I got him 2 overall, and I think you could see a boost of that going into next year. Then you got Gurley. Gurley's Gurley. You know, you can't go wrong there. So you could flip these two guys.
And that's what George did as well. So I've got Zeke at 2. George has Zeke at 3. I've got Gurley 3 as well as you do. George has Gurley at 2. So like I said, we've all got the same top 3, just in a slightly different order.
Yeah. My only concern with Zeke is, besides usage, I want to see another season where he gets 77 receptions. I think that will drop down a little bit next year now that they've got Amari Cooper. They actually have a wide receiver to throw the ball to. So I think you'll see Zeke level out at about 50 to 55 receptions, and that's the only reason I moved Gurley ahead of him.
I do think his 6 touchdowns is going to increase, though.
Yeah,
it's for sure. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you would think he'd have, you know, 10 to 12 touchdowns a season is what you think he would average right now at this point in his career. So the touchdowns I could definitely see going up.
All right, Hoos, let's keep going on.
I've got Connor next. I don't know. It's been a lot of, I don't want to say doubting about this guy. I just look at the Steelers guy, and obviously we've saw this guy perform last year very admirably, and it doesn't seem like it doesn't matter because Jalen Samuels did the same thing, you know, with the role. So I just look at James Conner. I think he could possibly finish top 2 given if he stays healthy all year. So I was a little surprised I didn't see him as high in some of you guys reckon. I mean, you got him in your top 10, Chris, and I don't even see him. Oh, yeah, you got him in your top 10 as well, George. But yeah, I think I'm obviously I'm the highest on him here. I have him in my top four, followed by Kamara to round out my top five.
Yeah, one thing I liked about Connor was how active he was in the passing game. I mean, he got everybody talks about not Stephen Ridley, but who was the backup behind him?
Samuels.
Yeah, everybody talks about how Jalen Samuels comes in and he was so active in the passing game. But you look at Connor, I mean, he had 55 catches for almost 500 yards. So it's not like he wasn't productive in the passing game. He was extremely productive in the passing game. And he was pretty good in the running game as well. Nearly 1,000 yards. He averaged 4.5 yards a carry, 500-yard games, and 12 touchdowns rushing. I mean, there's a lot there to like. And we've seen this before in the Steelers' offense. Literally, running back in that offense does not matter.
Right.
We've seen Damian Williams flourish. We've seen Le'Veon Bell flourish. We've seen James Conner flourish. We've seen Jalen Samuels flourish. D'Angelo Williams. I'm sorry. we've seen them all flourish.
The rest. I mean,
you're saying that. I'm like, when the hell did Damian
Williams? Yeah. D'Angelo, listen, he's wrestling now. The name will stick a little bit more. But we've seen all these running backs flourish in that system. So while I'm not brazen enough to put him in the top five like who's, I think he will finish as a top 10 running back, though.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely 100% agree with that. And he did all of that missing four games. Wasn't it four games?
Yeah,
I believe so. No, he missed three games.
Okay. So that reception total could have been well over 70.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's a little bit of recency bias. I mean, if he finished the season healthy, I think there's a chance he's in everyone's top five.
It's possible. Yeah, and I'm not a big believer that, you know, just because Jalen Samuels came in at the end of the year and looked good, that all of a sudden the Steelers are going to change their offensive philosophy and go to two running backs. I just don't believe that.
No. They just have two guys that can get it done, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you put any running back on that team, they get it done. So this is what we're saying, and that's another reason why I have him in my top five, and followed by Michael Thomas. He's the first wide receiver off my board, and primarily the receptions are there, obviously in PPR. The yardage is there, the touchdowns are there. There's no reason to go away from his catch rate is ridiculous. I know Tariq Hill finished higher. But I don't know. It was a weird end of the year for Thomas. But I think you're going to see more consistency of him next year. So that's the reason why I have him as my top guy. I wanted to put Adams there. But I just feel like with that healthy Allison and Adams, I don't think he's going to be that. I don't know. I still like him a lot. I'd still have him in my top 12. I just don't have him as my number one off the board. That was my... Grimace there.
I had Adams as my number one wide receiver, and then I switched it. But I'm going to go ahead and cut you off. We've gone through the first half of your first round. So you have Barkley, Zeke, Gurley, Connor, Kamara, and Michael Thomas as the first wide receiver off the board. George, we've talked about your top three, Barkley, Gurley, and Zeke. Why don't you give me your next three?
All right. So coming in at number four, I've got Melvin Gordon. 12 games this year, he had 855 yards, 10 touchdowns, 50 receiving receptions, almost 500 receiving yards, and 4 touchdowns there. I don't know why people are so low on Melvin Gordon. Yeah, he had that first year where he came out and he couldn't get in the end zone. But since that first year, all the dude does is get you in the end zone. All he does is score touchdowns. He's an absolutely phenomenal running back. They lean on him so heavily in that San Diego offense that I don't see how you can not have him in a top five.
Yeah, man, you don't need to convince me, man. I'm the biggest Melvin Gordon supporter.
Yeah. I think for the knock on Melvin Gordon for the past two seasons is finishing a season.
That's true.
So I have him just outside my six, or you guys both have him in your six. But yeah, I mean, the guy's a beast of a back. I mean, you can't go wrong with him.
No. For sure. I've got Melvin as my five. George, you've got him as your four. Yep. Let's keep going.
My number five is Christian McCaffrey. Dude caught 107 receptions for 867 yards.
That is bonkers.
That's crazy. That is insane. He also rushed for over 1,000 yards. The knock on Christian McCaffrey coming into last year was, well, they signed C.J. Anderson. And listen, I was a believer. I honestly thought that C.J. Anderson would cut into McCaffrey's workload.
And boy,
was I wrong. And I got no problem saying I was wrong. I would have Christian McCaffrey ahead of Melvin Gordon if we knew that Cam Newton was 100% and was going to start the year. But I can't do it as long as there's still speculation about Cam. Because I think if Cam is not playing, I think that's going to affect McCaffrey a lot more than people realize.
Right. I mean, that's why I don't even have him in my top 12 because of that. Although there is a lot of optimism about Cam being healthy for the spring training and for training camp and at the start of the season. I just want to see it first. I want to hear, I want to see more of that before I can put him in my top 12. I would imagine if I do see Cam healthy and he's out there looking like the old Cam, I'm going to have him probably replacing my last guy at 12.
I was going to ask you, Hoos, if you forgot to put CMC in your top 12.
No. Yeah, I like him in PPR. Obviously, he finished great. I don't know how he's going to finish if Cam is not there. So right now, that's my only hesitation. If I see Cam out there, and again, there is a lot of optimism around him that he's going to be fine and he's got that surgery and he should be okay. I don't know, though. I mean, injuries does pile up. I know he's still a young 30-year-old quarterback, but I don't know. He's taken, I don't know. I want to see him look like the old Cam first before I want to throw CMC in my top 12.
I agree with what you're saying about Cam. He takes a beating like no quarterback in the NFL does.
Because he's a big guy, so they just he's like LeBron. So like you follow him and they're not gonna call the foul, because he's a big dude and it's like, what foul? Like, you're huge.
Exactly.
Yep. All right, George, you're 106.
My 106 is Alvin Kamara. What is there to say about it? The dude literally, he's like Chris McCaffrey, except better. He does it all. He runs the ball, he catches the ball. I love the fact that he plays in a dome. I love the fact that he's on the Saints offense with Sean Payton and Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. I just had to throw him in there. But I just love that offense. Always been a big fan of that Saints offense. We expect to see the Alvin Kamara of the first four games next year. We all assume Mark Ingram is going to be moving on. So we expect to see an increased workload for Kamara. He's shown that he can handle it. So I've put him in right at 106 for the time being.
I don't know. I mean, Kamara did come out and say that Ingram's going to be back. So I know he's not ownership, but he might be pretty mad.
I don't expect anybody to come out and say, I don't want this guy back, or this guy's not coming back, especially if the player hasn't come out and said it yet.
Unless they're a Steeler, and then they're like, you know what?
Yeah, unless you're shitting on Le'Veon Bell, then go for it.
And AB.
Yeah.
AB will be back.
You think?
I think so.
All right. I think he gets traded.
I think he does, too.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only person who's been saying it. I think he ends up in Seattle.
I like that.
Yeah, there's a need there. Playing with Russell Wilson up there in Seattle, I think it would be a good fit for both AB and Seattle. It's a need for both, going to another good quarterback, one who likes to throw the ball down the field. He can run. He's mobile. I think he respects Russell Wilson more than he does Ben. So I think he'd fit right in Seattle and what they want to do there.
All right. Well, I'm going to get to my top six here. we'll save a lot of the speculation. So, George, they're basically the same as yours. I have Barkley, Zeke, and Gurley. Then Christian McCaffrey, Melvin Gordon. I've also got Alvin Kamara at six. So, really, just slightly different order for between me and you. But, yeah, I agree with everything that you said.
Yeah, we're splitting hairs.
Yeah, we are. Honestly, I think all six of those guys are tier one, maybe tier 1.5 for Melvin Gordon.
Yeah,
maybe.
I definitely have him that tier 1.5, and I think I did allude to having him right outside my six, so he's seven for me.
Yep.
followed by DeAndre Hopkins. He's a second wide receiver off my board. I mean, he's Hopkins. Have we seen enough catches from this guy, catching him through his legs? Just there, and that one didn't even count for points. Like, he just has so many insane catches. He's a beast of a wide receiver. I was kind of mulling him as well, being the number one. Can't go wrong with the guy. They do have other options. That's the reason why I have him number two. And then I have Julio there. Julio's Julio. I mean, you can't go wrong with the guy every year. The guy's exceeding yards. He caught way more touchdowns this year that was needed for
all damn all. Time.
Yeah, it was needed. So and he hit a streak. So yeah, hopefully he continues his touchdowns. I know they're going through another change in offenses again. The team's kind of going to look possibly a little bit different. I know Tevin Coleman might not be there. Who knows? His catches might go up because I don't think Brian Hill or Ito Smith is the guy, and then who knows even with Freeman.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's sure. A lot of questions.
Well, let's go ahead and finish up running backs here before we get into wide receivers, because really we only have wide receivers and running backs in our top 12. So your last running back that you have is Joe Mixon at the 111. I like that a lot. I do think he is worth a first round pick. He's not in my top 12, but it's you can definitely argue that. Joe Mixon, was he with a RB7 last year?
Yeah, and he missed about, I think, two or three games.
Yeah,
or
so. He was phenomenal. George, you have James Conner as your RB10, and I also have him at 10. No arguments there. We've already talked about him. But you're 112, something that is surprising. Why don't you go ahead and give it away so I don't spoil it?
All right, my 112 pick is Damian Williams from the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he is a top 12 running back in this league. The last five games, if you had him on your team,
let me stop you there. Top 12 running back worth a top 12 pick?
Top 12 pick, excuse
okay.
me. Top 12
okay.
pick. My mistake. If you had him on your team the last five games, he was a workhorse for you. He helped you definitely win a championship. There's nothing that this guy can't do. He doesn't have the big name. He didn't come in with a lot of hype. In fact, he was an undrafted free agent. He was pushing Kenyon Drake. He was actually starting over Kenyon Drake in Miami until he hurt his shoulder, and then he signed in the offseason with Kansas City as their third down running back. And even then, Andy Reid was saying how much he liked Damian Williams.
Damian Williams.
They just gave him a new contract in the offseason. We've seen what Andy Reid does with running backs. They're gold in his offense. He's on a high-powered offense where he's the only running back where he's not the focus of the offense. Where, like, when you play the Cowboys, you game scheme to stop Zeke. You want to stop Barkley. With the Chiefs, the running back is like the third or fourth person you're trying to stop. So the pressure is not on him. When he was in college, when they did the 40-yard dash, he was the fourth fastest at the combine in 2014. That was the same year that Dre Archer ran a 4.26. So he's fast. He's elusive. He can catch the ball. He runs hard. I love the guy. I don't think there's anything he can't do on a football field.
So you would disagree with a lot of the analysts from other shows who say that he's not a special talent.
I would. I don't think he's a super special talent, but you don't have to be a super special talent to be successful in the NFL. A lot of it is falling into the right situation, and that's exactly where he's at right now. He's in the right situation.
And I think a lot of people – well, I know we had, Celia on the show back when Kareem Hunt was a rookie, and he said Kareem Hunt, back when I said he was going to break out, he said Kareem Hunt's not really a super special player, but you look at the landing spot, and, yeah, it's a good fit. So Damian Williams, he's a dual guy. So, I mean, he's in an amazing landing spot. Back when he was playing in Miami, you know, he looked good. He was always the backup guy. I love those guys with the chip on his shoulder. He's going to be entering his seventh year. He's still a young guy. I took him, Damian Williams, in a dynasty just recently as my first running back, ahead of guys like, and probably not that surprising. I was surprised he was a lot left, but ahead of guys like Derrick Henry, Phillip Lindsay, Rashad Penny.
Well, of course you took him over Lindsay.
Yeah. well, you know, Lindsay's pretty good. You know, he's
nobody good. Did that.
You know, but I'm saying just recently in a dynasty right now. No,
gotcha.
Way too early draft.
Sealy was a great guest. We got to get him back on the show.
I'm trying to get him on. I think he's going to be on next week. So we'll see.
Baller. It's going to be awesome. All right. Let's get into wide receivers.
Really quickly, prayers out to Sealy. I know he doesn't listen to the show that as often, but I just wanted to wish out, sending my prayers out to him and his family. He sent out a tweet that his niece, I believe, or his sister's had a baby. His sister had a baby, so and there's some complications. So prayers and thoughts to him and his family.
Absolutely. Yep. Great guy. Hope everything starts working out for him. Turning positive here pretty soon. All right, let's talk wide receivers here before we sign off. So, Hoos, you already started talking about yours. You have DeAndre Hopkins or Michael Thomas at 106 as your first wide receiver off the board. And then you mentioned Hopkins at the 108, Julio at the 109, and you have Devontae Adams at the 110. George, do you notice who's missing from Hoos's list?
Odell?
Nope, he's got OBJ at 12.
Pull up his list here because I was looking at mine.
Hint, hint, he's also missing on your top 12.
Oh, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, yeah, not in either of your guys' first round. What's back with Pittsburgh?
If he's back, obviously, there's a chance he could be even higher in our rankings than where you have him right now, Chris. So, yeah, I mean, if we're speculating he's a Steeler again, sure. I mean, he's definitely going to be in my top 12. I do think that he's going to be a Steeler, but I'm not willing to put him there just yet. So this is kind of how I would have it ranked if I was drafting today.
Yeah, I got to keep in mind that it's February 11th.
Right.
We still don't know really what's going on with Antonio Brown. So if we're drafting today, I'm not taking him in the top 12 because I really don't know. I'm in the middle right now of a startup dynasty draft, and I think Antonio Brown fell into the third round.
Oh, wow.
If you're drafting today, that means you can't get over the fact that football's over. And you need to just take a chill pill.
Yeah, well, I'm in a dynasty as well right now.
I'm talking redraft, man. I still see it all over Twitter. I see it on Facebook pages. I see it on Sleeper still. Yeah.
No, it's way, way, way too early to be drafting in a redraft. Right now, it's the dynasty season, folks. Don't be drafting in your redraft leagues right now. All you're going to do is hurt yourself.
Man, I saw someone make a post about, do you like high-scoring games? Do you want to play mostly quarterbacks? Join my six-team, three-quarterback, two-superflex league.
What?
I was like, are you kidding me?
What is that, dude, like a scratch-off?
It is January, man. Come on.
Oh, man. In a six-team league, I mean, that's just...
Six teams, yeah.
Six teams. That's just like scratch off. That's there's no luck involved. You can auto draft that team and win a championship.
Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous.
I will not sit here and bash a six team league just because I have played in a four team league before. Now, a little perspective, it was just me and three other guys that I work with. We all threw $50 in and we drafted. You had to start four quarterbacks, you had to start four running backs, you had to start three tight ends. But it was just for fun. I mean, it was nothing super competitive. Listen, there was four teams. It can't be super competitive.
Right, right. For so, sure. And it really makes me upset when I see people like asking for advice or they'll post their team. What is this? A freaking eight team league? Like there's something wrong with that. I mean, it's not the size of the league that makes it fun. It's the people.
It's the people.
Yeah. Eight team leagues. There's nothing wrong with an eight team league. As long as it's a good league, good buddies, or it's active people, you know, work league, as long as it's fun, as long as you enjoy it, there's nothing wrong with it.
Especially if you're inexperienced, an eight team league can be really fun. If you're learning how to do or how to play fantasy.
I mean, because it can be fun for us if you have big rosters.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're doing a standard eight team, that's great for those who are inexperienced. And the last thing you want to do is have your first year in some type of crazy, insane type of league where one or two of your players get hurt and you really don't know what you're doing. So you're not really paying too much attention to waiver wires or anything like that. And your team just sucks all year. That's no fun. That's no fun at all. So eight team leagues are good if you need to get the experience or if you just want to have fun and not pay attention.
Yeah, good company. Like, you know, like Chris was alluding to. If you got good company, you know, and it's kind of more intimate, you know, you can pull a guy close, give him a hug, you know. Yeah, 18 teams are they could be fun. They could be fun. I think my first year playing was in an 18 team league.
I was gonna say your first year playing in an 18 team league.
I kicked ass. You know, I took it.
Mine was also an 18 league.
Well, anyways, let's get back to our rankings here.
AB.
So, rounding out your top 12 is Odell Beckham Jr. I still love Odell in the top 12. Still love him in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't finish the season healthy. I think he's going to come into the season roaring next year. I think he's going to have I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up top three. He hasn't had a season like that in some time right now. You still got Shepard. You still got Ingram. Now you got Barkley there. But I think a second year, you know, with this new offense, I think it's going to look even better.
Like, the Giants have potential to be a fantasy superpower.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they haven't been. They've got the percent or the potential. Yeah, but Eli is a serviceable quarterback. When it comes to, you know, Evan Engram was getting some targets. He was dropping a lot of them, and he was also injured. But when it comes to Barkley and OBJ and even Shepard when OBJ is out, Eli's good for the players for fantasy.
Right, right. He's not hurting them.
No, not at all. But anyways, so I like your top, your top 12. I do agree with most of it. I think I would take Mixon out. It's a hard argument to make. I also don't have Michael Thomas in my top 12. I'm going to run through my wide receivers here. So my first wide receiver off the board at 107 is Julio Jones. And I just think you can't really argue with what the guy did last year. He's got, what, 5 straight seasons with over 1,400 yards. People were knocking on him, you know, oh, he doesn't score any touchdowns. Oh, he had 3 touchdowns last year, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I'll take a guaranteed 1,400 plus yards any day of the week. You know, honestly, that matters more than the 8 touchdowns, you know?
Yeah, I mean, touchdowns are fluky. Give me the yards every time.
Yeah.
It is a little eye-raising why you have him there, but not really. I mean, he's Julio. He's a year older, but he doesn't seem to slow down at all. I mean, this guy's a beast. If he can stay healthy, I like it.
And my second wide receiver off the board, I did have him as my first, and then I thought about how much I love Julio Jones, and I switched it. So it's really like my 107 A and B. My 108, Davante Adams. I almost put him as my number one. I love Davante Adams. Geronimo Allison, I think, is better for Aaron Rodgers than it is bad for Adams. Adams has proven himself to be a red zone threat, a deep threat, a PPR threat, touchdown threat. The dude is just a machine. And all of us have him in our top 12. Hoos, you've got him at the 110. George, you've got him at the 108 as well. So obviously, we all love Davante Adams. And I believe, George, you also have him as your wide receiver two off the board.
Yep, my wide receiver one off the board is DeAndre Hopkins. The dude is just super, super talented. Yeah. I could not put Davante Adams ahead of Hopkins. I just could not do it.
To be fair, Davante Adams did finish the most consistent wide receiver throughout the season. Like,
he did.
He had pretty much a 20-game for you every game. Like, it was insane. Like, he didn't have one dud for you. You had guys, Tyreek Hill might give you like a 6-point game. Michael Thomas give you a 6-point game, a couple of them. Adams was, man. He was
we impressive. Found out Davante Adams listens to the show. Do you remember that little, it wasn't much, I guess it was kind of a little rant, but that is a Thursday show, me, you, and Lucas, and I was talking about, you know, who doesn't get any respect. I went on this 5-minute little spiel about Davante Adams, all his stats, what he's done the whole season, and how incredible he'd been. And then, that Saturday, he put out some like quote about how he doesn't get the respect that he deserves. Oh, he listened. He heard me.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Oh, yep. Adams, we get it. So, George, you've got Hopkins, Adams, and then Julio. I've got Julio, Adams, and then Hopkins.
Yeah, we're between Julio, Adams, and Hopkins. I mean, I'll take any of the three on my team. I've got no problem with that, any of them. I put Hopkins the highest just because I think he's got the highest ceiling of the three. I put Adams right there in the middle. Just like you said, he was super, super consistent. And then Julio, he did just turn 30. So, I mean, 30 is not the death strike for wide receivers as it has been historically for running backs. But I do want to recognize that Julio's age is up there, and that does concern me.
You know, I had the second to last pick in the Pro-Am. I started my first two rounds with Julio and Hopkins.
That is fantastic.
I'll take that all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Anyways, let's get back to it. So we've got the same three wide receivers as our first three off the board, just in a different order. My 111 is Antonio Brown. Even if he goes somewhere, there's a lot of talk about San Francisco. I think he's going to be great in San Francisco. If he stays in Pittsburgh, I think he's going to be great there. Even if it weren't for all the, you know, the locker room issues, oh, he's a locker room cancer, which I think is bullshit. I don't think Antonio Brown, honestly, he doesn't have a history of that. Maybe right. He's been a little bit of a diva lately, but it's not like he's been this way his entire career. But even if he's back at Pittsburgh, I think he's going to be awesome. And then my 12th pick in the first round, my fifth wide receiver off the board, Odell Beckham Jr. And honestly, these five guys, I think you can make an argument for any of them to be right. The first wide receiver taken. I mean, it's splitting hairs in the first round for the most part when it comes to wide receivers.
Yeah, there's so much parity at the position within the top five. I'll even go top six with Michael Thomas. There's parity between the top six wide receivers. You can legitimately make a case for all of them being the first wide receiver off the board.
If I was doing my top 13, Michael Thomas would have been in there.
Yeah, I mean, you got some people that would probably argue Juju and even Evans if AB is not there. And then Evans, the way he finished with Winston, I know that they have a change of coordinator, so I don't know if we're going to see the same air raid, but yeah,
and but also Bruce Arians came back.
Yeah, so I mean, they're shaping up to be a juggernaut. So if he finishes if he can start his season the way he finished it, and just kind of can stay consistent, I think a lot of us are going to be saying we should have had Evans in our top 12.
Arians is great for that deep threat. Evans sure. is going to be a superstar this year. Not that he already wasn't, but Evans could easily finish top five.
Yeah, he certainly surprised me this year just because Winston didn't seem to have that same rapport with him. But towards the end of the season, he definitely did. And he was able to make everybody look good, even Humphreys.
100%. And like I said, my last wide receiver was OBJ. Hoos, he is your 12th pick as well. And George, you've got him at the 111. So clearly, we all think Odell is worth a first-round pick again this year.
Yeah, I know he let a lot of people down. But, I mean, health was there. But aside from that, when he was healthy, you know, he's OBJ. He's a star player. He's going to help you win championships if he's out there healthy. So, yeah, you can't go wrong picking the guy. Who absolutely. Else are you picking?
Yep.
No, absolutely. He's a stud. He's a threat to take it to the house on any catch. He's a threat to make just a miraculous one-hand catch at any game. He definitely is worthy of a top 12 pick.
Well, all right, guys, that is going to wrap it up for this week's show. Make sure to follow us a couple different places. You can follow us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. George is on there at BFTG Pod. Hoos is on there at Hoos the Prophet. And I am Prof_ChrisSW. You can also find us on the Sleeper app. George is BFTGO, so GEO. Hoos is Prophet Hoos, and I am Professor Chris. And then follow us on Instagram, Professor Chris SW and Hoos the Prophet. And make sure to check out and join our Facebook page. It is the Sleeper Wire Fantasy Football Club. Hoos, George, thank you so much for joining me this week. Everybody else, thanks for listening in February. We'll catch you next time.